Your Locked On Golden Knights, your daily podcast on the Vegas Golden Knights, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
VGK looks to clinch a playoff berth tonight, hit the century point mark, and add to its Western Conference lead against the Edmonton Oilers at home. Will VGK come out flat again following a three-game road sweep? Hi again, everyone. Tony Kardasco along with Chris Golic. We thank you for making us your first listen each and every day. Thanks so much for doing that. You can find our podcast wherever you get your podcast, on Twitter at Tony Dasco, at TD Chris G, at Lockdown VGK. On YouTube, Lockdown Golden Knights, please subscribe. So, Chris, surprisingly...
I'm going to break you early, Tony. I'm trying to break you early.
Was I doing that?
Doing
that today? I just wait like Bruce Cassidy. I never had that habit before.
No, there's very active fault lines under Las Vegas. I think it's shaken a little bit by you. You're fine.
So, the Golden Knights are looking to hit the 100-point mark for just the second time in team history, right? When you think about things, they face off against the Edmonton Oilers tonight. It'll be at the Fortress here in Las Vegas. They've already beaten the sports books with the point total going over for the season. They could surpass the team record in doing so, 109 points in a season. In season one, Golden Knights now are surging. They could also surpass the inaugural season in the number of wins of 51. They're currently at 46 with nine games to go, and they could also clinch a playoff spot tonight. A VGK win, they get the 2 points. A Nashville loss, and VGK is officially in. They are unofficially in the playoffs right now. And Chris is trying to work OT late at night, burning the midnight oil so he could pay for those said playoff tickets.
And 13, 14 hours a day right now. It's awesome. So I was actually looking early in the season. It happened already.
What do I do now? Do I lean forward?
You're more of a north-south type guy. Cassidy is east-west. That's all. Think of it like that.
Because I like to score goals just straight ahead.
I like it. There you go. I like it. All right. So to the dirty paints. All right. So talking about, first of all, early in the season, one of the spots I had to do for Lockdown was a quick 2 minutes about how I felt VGK would be with respect to the over under for their points total. I feel like it was either 94.5 or 96.5, maybe even 93. I was trying to find the email while you were doing your open there. And I was it wasn't like a torpedo snap over type thing, but a high level of confidence that this team would have a chip on its shoulder. And, you know, they should hit the over pretty easily. And obviously we are, you know, flirting with even as high as like in the one teens right now, depending on how things shake out in these last, eight or so games. So we'll see exactly what happens there. It's exciting, right? I mean, so many questions coming into the season, but the difference is the questions never stopped, right? There was a big lull in the middle of the season, injuries, poor play, you know, me putting out tweets like, hey, there's something with this team that's not right. And that's when they were somewhat healthy in October and November. So this team did not show up for a full 82 games, but look at what they've accomplished. And on paper, this team can lap the season one team that, you know, was a heartbeat away from winning a Stanley Cup. So exciting times, still questions heading into the playoffs about who's going to be on the roster, what's going to be happening. Saw some reports, Riley Smith and Logan Thompson, both not even expected to skate this week. That's not good news, unfortunately, but we'll, look at who's going to pick up the pieces in the meantime. And it's been that all season, right? We've had a good chunk of reinforcements, you know, even though we have no prospects and youth in this organization that can help this team out. So, you know, it's all good, folks. It's all good.
And Cassidy has done a terrific job of keeping this team together. I never would have thought maybe around December-ish and then into January that this would be a 100-point team. Never thought that. And then this season, they could have had so many excuses. Sometimes they do, in fact, lean on those excuses, sure, but they don't even need them. At this point, it's one of the greatest seasons in franchise history currently, with kind of subtly, right, in a quiet sort of a way. Bruce Cassidy has been able to fill in a lot of the gaps this season, and it has been, yes, I hate that next man up mentality, but that's exactly what it's been, and the system definitely seems to be working.
You know, in the next man up, this was maybe a subtopic we were going to hit up. There's a lot of injuries right now still up and down the lineup, and all of a sudden Paul Cotter is quietly or not so quietly been out of the lineup. So that's another testament, if you will, to the depth of this team. Paul Cotter is not necessarily ready to contribute at the level of some others, but he has been a decent contributor on and off the season, depending on down the stretch what Cassidy's plans are or what the hockey gods have in store for us. Or we'll probably see Cotter back in the lineup, and come playoffs, who knows what's going to happen with injuries and Mark Stowaway, as you called him yesterday. And, you know, so much. This is exciting, right? You know, the playoffs, you know, they're coming now. I mean, technically it's not official yet, but it's coming. You get to go back and do that dance again. You get, you know, the most exciting games of the season, and you can't compare anything to the playoffs. There's no comparison in sports to the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
What's even more impressive than VGK making it into the playoffs, the fact that they lead the Pacific Division, they could also clinch the top spot in the Western Conference. Never saw that happening.
No, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we go back to the start of the season. I was high on the team. Like, we felt good. We also felt they were going to be a team that was comfortably in the playoffs for most of the season, second, third seed, but never in danger of missing the playoffs, right? There was a lull for a while, you know, right around in early January, when actually Negreanu put out the tweet. I think it was the same day Ivan made a comment, you know, that be careful, this team could miss the playoffs if they don't figure, you know, figure their poop out, right? You know, a comment like that or something along those lines. And then now they're going to be, I mean, we're not a 100-point team. I would say the line is probably, what is there, 8 games left, 16. I would say the line is probably 109.5 points down the stretch, May not even win the division. Look at the Kings right now. They're playing awesome.
I can't believe the way that the Kings have kept up and kept this pace, because it's been a torrid pace in the Pacific, especially. And looking forward to a showdown here coming up at the toward the end of the season with VGK and the Kings. I know that Cassidy, yesterday you talked about Cotter, and the player that's pushed him out of the lineup is Pavel Dorofeyev, and he is going to stick with the team. And again, as we've discussed before, we brought up the topic, okay, he's good, but how much, you know, how long will they keep him up with the big team? And again, Cassidy just admitted again, he definitely sticks with the hot players, the hot hand, and that's what he's doing with Dorofeyev. And so that pushes Paul Cotter out of the lineup, unfortunately. And, you know, Cassidy had admitted that he felt that Cotter had played some really good hockey, you know, in the past. So that's a tough break for Paul Cotter.
Cotter is a great energizer just to have waiting in the wings for something like this, because, you know, every time he's been benched before, you know, not injury related, he comes out shot like a cannon. You know, he is going to come out thumping. He's going to have energy. And, you know, you wish he could figure out a way to learn how to do this without having this type of motivation. But he's a kid playing in the NHL. They got to learn, right? You got to have some patience with them. As Cassidy, listen, we've had issues. We've heard about Cassidy handling youngsters and stuff. Logan Thompson, I think he's done a fine job. I mean, sure, he's been, you know, playing some head games early in the season, but it's worked out. Pavel Dorofeyev, he's earned the trust. He has earned the trust. Aiden Hill, we'll see. Aiden Hill, Cassie might not have a choice but to trust Aiden Hill at some point, who's also, I don't believe, is going to be skating this week. I think
he's not even back. Yeah, he said he's not even on the ice yet. So
yeah, that's so unfortunate. I mean, it's just, I mean, is it really going to be the quick and bro Swasho coming into the playoffs? And does bro Swa get the first start? Like, that's the thing. We don't
know.
This is so Quit okay, it. Let's see who starts tonight, Tony. Let's see who starts tonight.
The amazing Jonathan starts tonight. He'll start tonight.
I think so.
Okay,
I'm not locking
next,
that in.
We will have a preview of tonight's VGK Oilers game. We'll get to that when we return right here on Locked On Golden Knights. Hey, folks, the Final Four is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet does not win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure. It's super easy to use. Then you could bet on everything from the money line to point scores and three-pointers that are drained. And don't forget that you could bet on the spread, the money line, the total, player points, rebounds, assists, all of that. And FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. That's right. So don't miss out. Don't miss your chance on your no-sweat first bet. Up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the National Basketball Association. Welcome back to Locked On Golden Knights. Tony Cardasco, Chris Golic from Las Vegas. We appreciate you making us your first listen each and every day. And please subscribe to the YouTube channel, Locked On Golden Knights. I saw the lowest college basketball total on a game this season, 115.5, the National Invitation Tournament. That moved from New York City, Madison Square Garden, to right here at the Orleans Arena. Yes, I'm going to get more hoops in this week. 115 points, North Texas against Wisconsin. And just
out of the final game you're talking about? Or what?
No. They have the semifinals. There's the final four teams are here. And so the other side
the
of the
final four, wow, it's at the Orleans. They got kicked out of Madison Square Garden to the Orleans. Yeah. Huh?
So it'll be Utah Valley against Alabama, UAB, Alabama, Birmingham. So one
it's
of
a
the
bad
Alabama
beat for the NIT,
won.
Huh?
What's that?
It's a bad beat for the NIT, huh?
So it should be 115.5 points. Principal alone, you got to take the over. That's just the lowest I've seen. Okay, back to hockey. VGK, a couple of days off in between matchups. Smokes. I'm about to go off again. Edmonton had to play that game in between, the sandwich game last night. They came away with a 4-3 win at the Mullet Arena. There's just one
five
more
four,
team
right?
That hasn't 5-4. Did I say 4-3?
Yeah, you said 4-3.
Whatever. 5-4.
I had action. That's the only reason I know.
That's right. You did have action. Connor McDavid up to 140 points. The first player since 1995-96, since Lemieux and Jagr to reach that total. That's amazing. Jack Campbell was in net last night for Edmonton, and perhaps we will see Stuart Skinner tonight in the back-to-back. But let's talk a little bit about the Oilers. McDavid was pretty quiet. He had an assist last night. And also, they are now jumbling the lines late in the season. I thought this was a Bruce Cassidy-type move. So the top line, which they started, they played again last night, and probably we'll see it again tonight. The top line had McDavid centering your guy, Evander Kane, and Matthias Janmark. Just a pretty odd line. So that is their top line right now to see how they respond. But I don't know. But we'll see them tonight in action. What do you think changes in the rematch from the past weekend?
Feel like watching Connor McDavid between Janmark and Evander Kane would be like watching McDavid walking down Las Vegas Boulevard with two
with another
boat
woman.
Anchors.
Oh, sorry.
It'd be like having two boat anchors just like digging into the cement.
Remember that video
behind him? He's just taking these big steps one at a time, trying to keep chugging up the boulevard there.
Remember that video though over the summer? It was not his girlfriend.
Oh,
that he was-
God. Yeah, that's
yeah, that's definitely.
I'm surprised you didn't get on TMZ for that one.
No, they didn't call me on that one.
So listen, Edmonton, we said this all the time, guys. Amazing talents, so much top tier talents, but they just can't figure things out. They have now played Arizona twice in, I believe, less than a calendar week. They beat them by one goal. Then it took overtime for them to win as well. Now, last night's a weird game. Last night felt like a trappy game for the Edmonton Oilers. You know they want to give VGK a better game tonight. You know they're pissed off, for lack of a better term, about the overtime loss. They're chirping about the refs and things like that. I expect a fun game tonight. I expect another playoff atmosphere. I expect Braden McNabb to be public enemy number one because he very so slightly pinched Connor McDavid in a spot that made him go down harder than LeBron James when someone you know, basically brushes him off, something like that. So, you know, McNabb's going to have to keep his head on a swivel tonight. Hey, he's got Kolesar out there to you know, body blow somebody. So if it gets ugly, you know, we'll have an answer for it. But Edmonton's a good team, but they are not a great team. I'm sorry. They're not a great team. They're fool's gold. They're going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to, you know, win a series. And that's who they're going to be until they figure out a complete culture change top to bottom. If you cannot win a cup with McDavid and Draisaitl, I know that, you know, eats up literally $23 million of salary or something like that. But if you can't find complementary players to put around to at least be in the conference finals almost every season, there's a bigger problem here. There's a real big problem in Edmonton.
It's the second time in Edmonton history that three players have more than 90 points. Think about that. Okay, McDavid.
Nugent Hopkins?
Yep. Nugent Hopkins, the third one, along with Draisaitl and McDavid. 88-89 season, you go back to Messier, Yari Curry, and Jimmy Carson, right? I think back then. And they always forget about that third piece. Right, Carson? Yeah. That made sense. Okay.
But Yari Curry is the one they always forget about in Edmonton.
Yeah, but that's amazing, though, when you have three. And a possibility for them to have three 100-point scores. Because now you have Draisaitl.
Oh, he gets. Nugent Hopkins gets to 100, probably.
Yeah, in the final games. That's incredible. And what concerns me was the fact that VGK held down Connor McDavid in that last meeting. And here's he had one assist last night to get up to 140 points. But that's pretty incredible. Going back to the game the other night as well, in the overtime period, I just remember, and I didn't discuss it yesterday, forgot about it. Wasn't it Matthias Ekholm? He was on the ice. He was just gassed. They couldn't get him off the ice. And he played like that entire OT period. So they were a little tired and they couldn't get him off the ice. His shift was really long there. And then, of course, VGK cashed in late in that contest in OT.
Yeah, I mean, you see stuff like that happen in overtime, you know, frequently where someone just gets stuck on the ice for a long time. And oh, I'm going back. I think it was season one against the Jets. Dustin Byfuglien was still playing. He got stuck out there in an incredibly long shift. I think Perron just walked right around him or something like that. Going back, VGK, not overtime, but I remember when they played Vancouver, Quinn Hughes logged like a 3.5-minute shift. And at the end of the game, he took a hooking penalty on Jack Eichel. And I don't understand how it wasn't called a goal, but that was another situation we talked about where the net's empty, penalty in the defensive zone, and it doesn't count as a goal, but another conversation for another time. I mean, this is the time of year you lean on these players and, you know, you hope they can find a way in overtime. And I don't know, the 3-on-3 overtime is amazing. Just, I hate shootouts. Just go completely off the rails right now. So give them 10 minutes of 3-on-3 overtime.
Coming up next, we will have our locks of the night and our predictions for tonight's game. Stay with us right here on Locked On Golden Knights. Welcome back to Locked On Golden Knights. Again, you could find our podcast wherever podcasts are available in this entire universe. And please subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's Locked On Golden Knights. And Chris, it's that time to make predictions, come up with our locks of the night. And remember at the start of the season, I said Kelly McCrimmon's success is based on Jack Eichel's success. Mm-hmm. And it's starting to feel that way now. As I think Eichel's sensing the playoffs. Eichel now, he just has that demeanor at this moment where he really wants to take that leadership role. Him and Phil Kessel, I guess you could say, those two pretty much want to do that. But I'm going to go with Eichel tonight, and I'm also going to take Michael Amadio. Is he going to be? He'll be in still. Yeah. So those are the two players. And can I take Connor McDavid too? I think McDavid just has a pretty big night tonight because I think you could only keep him down for so long. And what's the over-under on an Evander Kane fight in this game? And also, what's the over-under of the amount of money he loses or he lost last night at the Cosmopolitan?
There was
– I was over
the
there.
Chirp of all chirps. And I want to make sure this is a serious matter, but – This was the chirp of all chirps I've seen in hockey. This was right after that Cosmo story broke regarding Evander Kane. Somebody at the Vegas Golden Knights game was dressed in a suit on the glass, I think, during warmups.
Yeah.
Covered in responsible gaming pamphlets, just standing in front of their warmup sign. I think he was a Shark at that time. Wow, they hung a 7 for tonight's over-under again.
Yeah.
They hung a 7, man.
Just keep going. Just keep going.
That's a lot, Tony. Tonight, that feels like a lot. I don't know. You mentioned really fast, Phil Kessel, who's going to be one of my locks tonight. So Ryan Wallace had a good analogy about Phil Kessel kind of stepping up. So I took it to another gear, I guess, no pun intended for what I'm about to say. So Phil Kessel, I think, is only in second gear right now. Right?
Well, we said that earlier this season.
What's
that?
Ryan's been in the same boat too.
So we said Phil Kessel was preserving himself for later. We knew this.
Yeah.
We knew that.
But
okay,
we have two more gears coming from Phil Kessel, is what I'm saying. He's only in second gear right now. He's going to drop the hammer, Tom Cruise style, like in Daytona. What is it? Days of Thunder. He's going to drop the hammer like Days of Thunder style when he's in Rowdy's car, you know, and stuff like that in the star of the movie. We still have that version of Phil Kessel coming. So I like Phil Kessel. You mentioned him as his leadership role improving as well. Chandler Stephenson, same line. Let's see if they can.
What's going on with Chandler Stephenson? My goodness.
You know what? He's also on. Listen, what got him on line three is not good, but he's also taking on his role as a better defensive player too in the meantime while he figures it out. Mm-hmm. So that's okay. That's okay for now.
And you think Larry Bro is going to be between the pipes tonight? And I say the amazing Jonathan.
I think there's an outside chance they go Briswagen. I think there's an outside chance. Okay. I think you know what Phil Kessel is. I'm sorry. But you know what Jonathan Quick is right now. There's nothing to learn from Jonathan Quick about what he's going to do in the playoffs, what he's going to do down the stretch. You know what you're going to get right now. He doesn't need more reps. Maybe give him a couple more games down the stretch, but he does not need reps to learn what he had. We know what Jonathan Quick is based off his sample size already. Brossois needs to be able to be relied on. You don't want to overwork him, but you need to have him ready to go, because if you lose Brossois or Jonathan Quick for that matter, you know, you hope you got something else in the tank. So I think there's an outside shot based on the fact that Brossois used to be an Oiler. He knows the team very well. He's had success against them. And it's been, three calendar days, by the time the puck drops tonight, he'll be okay. So I think there's an outside shot. They do roll with that. Give me a 5-1 VGK winner. Total statement game tonight. Big statement game tonight.
Okay, big statement game.
Back end of the back-to-back. Edmonton's going to be tired, Tony.
So, it's so rigged. 7-5 Edmonton. 7-5 Edmonton. And I just like the fact that Edmonton came back in that game three times on Saturday night. Think about that.
They did the same thing against Arizona. That takes a lot out of you, Tony. And they did the same thing against Arizona last week. And I think the Sharks.
So I think Edmonton scores early in this game tonight. That's just
so teams traditionally on the backside of a back-to-back usually come out hotter, right? They're, they just played the night before, but they also usually fade the deeper the game gets. So this is something I've said a bunch of times throughout the season. Here we go, Tony. Are you not agreeing, or are you moving your camera?
I just moved.
I can
camera.
Do this too. I can do that too. See, look at that. I'm cool.
At least my head is not like moving, vibrating and stuff like it was.
There you go.
Go ahead. Continue.
No, I got nothing. I got nothing.
No. So I was just trying to look back earlier, back in that early, the first season for VGK. They clinched, I think, about March, which is crazy, right? March the 20th or 21st of that.
It was almost to the day. I saw the tweets and stuff coming from people. Yep.
Almost to the day. We're at the 28th, like a week later, 8 days later.
Oh, almost to the day. 365 days, 7-day sample size. That's pretty close.
Okay. Playoffs this year in the National Hockey League. Just thought of another one. Playoffs. Same parity. Will we see the same parity that we're seeing in the NCAA tournament
are we going to see one parity seed going down and
well,
all that
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I mean, because
you see it every year in the NHL, Tony. You see it every friggin' year in the NHL.
Winning the President's Trophy isn't that big anymore.
Listen, the Bruins, they're remarkable, and they very well may come out of the West, Or they might lose in the first round.
Come out of the East, you mean?
East, West, whatever. But yeah, they may come out of the East or they may go out in the first round. And honestly, it would suck if you're a Bruins fan, but it's not like the team didn't show up if they do get knocked. I mean, listen, they could have a crappy playoff series and that happens to everybody. But just because you're the eighth seed, especially in the East, that does not mean you don't have a shot to take out the first seed. That, well, technically wild card two is not one versus eight, but you understand what I'm saying right now. So, and the same thing in the West. I mean, listen, the Golden Knights could face the Jets in the first round. Connor Hellebuck might get hot and we might lose a bunch of 2-1 games. And then the Jack Eichel stuff will never stop, obviously, which is unfortunate. So, you know, that's what's fun about the playoffs, the unknown. I mean, VGK in the first season, yes, they were leading the division, not the conference, I believe, because Winnipeg actually had home ice in the conference final. So, you know, that's what makes it fun. You just don't know. And it's so much fun to watch the playoffs.
Yeah, I think
now we get to be we're not a passenger on the bus. We get to actually be on the bus this year to watch it too.
That's another thing. We went through the passenger stage this season. You talked about Riley Smith, LT. Neither one of them will be skating this week. Alec Martinez. There were no updates.
He's back. No, he practiced yesterday. He's back tonight.
Oh, he's good. Back. Okay, good.
Yep. Well, he's back. That's just one game. I'm not sure what happened. There wasn't any speculation, but he's good to go tonight.
Okay. Well, that's really good news. Because yes, that's definitely good news. Need him back, and we know. And they even went through that phase as well with Petrangelo.
Of course.
And the issues and the team that struggled. He had. I mean, think about some of the stuff that's gone on with this team this past season. And for them to hit 100 points in this game tonight, that's a pretty big deal, I believe. I think that's a major
milestone. I want to see them just absolutely rout Edmonton. I think that would be because, you know, last game was overtime. People are chirping about, you know, the refs. I mean, God, you go on the Edmonton fan pages after that game. Good Lord, that was entertaining. I mean, all teams do that. They all moan about the refs. But, you know, it would be really nice to absolutely wipe the ice, if you will, with the Edmonton Oilers tonight. I would love if they can just crush them 5-1. Evander Kane. Okay, here we go. Evander Kane gets thrown out of the game with 7.5 minutes remaining. Yes or no?
He's going to go ballistic tonight. Yeah.
I think so.
And we've got a tirade in him. Especially
yeah, if I honestly think so. I honestly think it's going to happen.
Yeah. He's going to melt down. And then you're going to be covering the game tonight.
Yes, I will be there. I will be there at
in a media capacity.
What's that?
In a media capacity.
Yes, I will be there.
Are you
yes,
going to ask? Are you going to put Cassidy? And... Are you going to put Cassidy on the spot and ask him about how come we can't interview his assistant coaches?
Ooh, that would be that's more of
yeah, that would not be good.
The only way you can slide that in there,
no, it's is not good.
If someone asks something and he says, "Oh, got to talk to Berkey about that," blah 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 blah, and then
right.
I kind of back up two parter. Hey, you know, here's my first question, blah blah blah, and. You know, we never noticed the assistants talk a whole lot.
They never talk. No, they're shut out. You're shut out. You can't even talk to them. Don't mention it. Okay. They'll take away your credential. Tomorrow's show, we will recap.
You don't want that happening.
We will recap the Edmonton VGK game. Should be an entertaining one, though. I think we're in for a lot of good fun in this.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game tonight.
It'll be fun. And then we'll get to that tomorrow and any other news that breaks, injury update.
Oh, there'll be plenty.
Goaltending carousel, all of that. We appreciate you making us your first listen each and every day. You can find our podcast wherever it's available. And please subscribe to the YouTube channel, Lockdown Golden Knights. For my man, Chris Golic, I'm Tony Cardasco. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Lockdown Golden Knights. Take care.